otherwise known as Face Nurse Sarah.
My name is Joni. I am the owner of Enhance Cosmetic and Wellness. And together we are joining forces to bring you Scratch the Surface. Welcome back.
Yeah, wow. Well, first of all, I do have to open with a massive thank you for all of your hard work last week. Jody was manning the fort, like launching Scratch the Surface while I was off in Bali for the entire week. So not just a learning curve of how do you even produce a podcast, but all of the, as you can imagine, behind the scenes things to actually make this thing go live.
That is okay.
Very, very thankful for you and all your hard work. I hope it wasn't too much.
When I go to Bali, you will be the one that holds down the fort. So it's a save it for later.
Yes, yes, I totally understand. Well, look, I think that we should just jump straight into it today.
Perfect.
We've had some really great feedback from some listeners from our first episode. Sure, we did have some teething problems. We anticipated that, but I've got to admit, it actually came up probably 10 times better than even I was expecting. So today, just to refresh a little, because I'm not too sure if everyone completely understood, I am a clinic owner here in Brisbane. I relocated from Melbourne 3 years ago, and I still freelance in a handful of other clinics. I'm actually in 6 clinics all up across Queensland and Melbourne. So I reintroduce that or refresh your memory on that because that will, I guess, help you understand a little bit more as we go into more of what I'm doing behind the scenes, working on the business side of things, to then highlight and help you, because we're either freelancing, working for someone else, or we're running our own show. And I do think that between both of us, we've got this pretty well covered.
I agree. And Sarah's someone who freelances and she travels all over pretty much Australia. Whereas for me, I solely work only here in Brisbane. Yeah. So it's two, again, people who are cosmetic nurses, but who do two different things.
Yeah. Yeah. And I definitely think that there's been quite a bit of growth, I think, in seeing nurses freelance, especially more to your rural areas. And I can definitely speak so highly of doing that. So yeah, well, we're certainly always here for any of your questions regarding how to maybe get into more of the rural landscape, what that looks like, and all of those sorts of things.
Perfect. Yeah. I think the first thing that we wanted to touch base as part of episode 2 today, we obviously did talk about it very briefly in episode 1, but it was how to become a cosmetic nurse.
Yeah, I've had probably 3 DMs asking just off the back of last week's episode. I'm going to be completely honest. I feel like it's probably changed a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
Since when I did it, when I moved into cosmetic nursing, it was a, you know, 4 or 5 day course that we paid an absolute fortune for. And that was realistically just a bit of an expressions of interest of getting into the industry. So, legally, I don't think you actually have to do anything.
No, you don't.
Post doing your RN studies. Once you've got your, I don't even know that you have to have done your grad year. I'm pretty sure, like they really.
As soon as you come out of university and you're a qualified registered nurse, you have any legal right to.
Yeah. To carry
hold
a needle.
Yeah.
Except you then. Oh yeah, no. Actually, I am completely triggered back here that you then just need a doctor's prescription to be able to administer anything that you are injecting.
Correct.
So that's where.
That's where it becomes tricky. Again, I agree with you. Back when I studied this X amount of years ago, it is probably very different now. It was more of a expression of interest, tip your toes in the water, see how you feel. Whereas now there are so many different courses and online training that you can do that can get your foot in the door.
Yep.
But first off is you need to be a registered nurse, and that is within Australia. I know other countries it is a little bit different, but in Australia you legally need to be a registered nurse that holds an APRA registration that is valid. to then go out and seek your cosmetic
yep.
nursing.
Yep.
Each company that you will inquire with may have a different set of, I guess, a pathway they want you to go down. For me, for example, my nurse who I've just hired, I made sure that she had a postgraduate study. Again, something we touched based on in episode one. For me, that just allows for me to know that my nurse, if left on her own, and if anything went wrong, she has the medical experience behind her to sort out an emergency if I'm not here. So for me, I make sure my nurse was had finished her graduate, your graduate program? Is that what you call it in hospitals?
Yeah, grad program.
Your graduate program. And then to do online training, as well as training via a few suppliers, as well as then in-clinic training that I have taught myself.
It's one of those things that, yes, you can do it, even if you get a doctor to prescribe for you, which good luck to you, because realistically, you won't. And without a doctor's support for their script and without their own education backing them, mm-hmm. if you were to meet adverse events, reactions, etc.,
it becomes complicated. Yeah,
it's very complicated.
So if you come to us, or if you want to know how to be a cosmetic injector or open your own business, my advice to you is make sure you have done your registered nursing degree. Make sure you have done a graduate diploma, I guess your graduate certificate after a year of, like, in a hospital for a year. Again, not necessary, but for companies who are looking to hire someone as a nurse, they will probably favoritize people who have completed that in comparison to people who haven't. And go out into a company that is larger, bigger company that has the ability to put you through that training. Again, we spoke about last week that if you wanted to, you really could go out on your own and do it straight away. And we know some fantastic nurses who have done that and it has worked for them, but it is an extremely difficult pathway to
high risk. Yeah. It's high risk road.
Very extremely difficult pathway to go down.
Yeah.
So if you are someone who wants to go out in that field, my advice, and I'm sure it'd be your advice as well, is go and inquire with a larger scale company before you go out on your own to get that experience in your back pocket. And once you feel like you have got that and you have got the tools in your belt, then by all means, go out on your own.
Yep. And look, I guess I just also want to wrap up this conversation with that that sounds a bit harsh, but I really want this podcast platform to be for those that are of us that are already in the industry. I want to build the community around the nurses that are already needing help. Us, I guess, the most.
Yeah.
So as far as any further questions about how to get into it from here, the other helpful resource is your Facebook groups, asking those questions in there.
Yeah.
Without further ado, I think we have wrapped that one up in a really tidy little parcel. Yes. And we'll send that one to, because it has been absolutely the most asked question.
I have been inundated with DMs saying, I love what you do. How do I get into it? But they're still 2 years into their university degree. And again, I'm super proud of people being eager in this industry. Yep. But this industry is hard. And this industry is not just something that you can do because it's a 9-to-5 and you don't want to work night shifts anymore. You have to have an art for it. And you will find that very, very soon into this industry. So for us, this podcast was about cosmetic nurses who have already got their own businesses or they're thinking about going on their own, out on their own, and what they can do to have a business that is successful.
Sure. I do think this is a really good segue into someone. I was talking to someone about this the other day, about my journey into cosmetic and how I actually started in skin. So I did a skin science course and, I was doing chemical peels, facials, all skin things, skin needling that I'd already done in a course previous to getting into cosmetic injectables. And I was having this chat the other day saying, when I was in Melbourne as a cosmetic nurse, cosmetic nurses stayed in that lane. Like I shouldn't say we just did injectables, but pretty much nurse injectors in Melbourne, I found they stayed in cosmetic injectables.
Yeah.
And then when moving to Queensland, I noticed, oh, hang on, everyone's a bit more varied like me and quite diverse, because obviously I was doing skin and inject.
Yeah, see, I wasn't.
Up here, I was like, wow, everyone's actually doing skin and inject. So a really, really interesting contrast between the two states. Mm. And I can't speak more highly to really working on the foundations of skin and your anatomical knowledge of skin and your deeper structures. Yeah. Because I think that then leading into your cosmetic injectables just goes obviously hand in hand, but mm-hmm. it really will help you to, I think, excel. And that's what we need to see more of yeah. in our industry.
Well, that's where I struggled, because when I started in this industry and I worked for another company, my role was a cosmetic nurse. So I didn't do any skin and I didn't do any laser. So when I went out on my own, I obviously knew the fundamentals and the basics, and you do that as a nurse anyway. But when it came to chemical peels and skin needling and lasers, for me, it was a completely different ballpark.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I had to then go and further educate myself on the skin and chemical peels and ingredients, because I had no knowledge. And if you don't love skin, you're not going to like injectables. And that's a struggle for me, because I had done 5 years of injectables and I was like, oh, I was so used to, oh, but I'm not a dermal technician.
Yeah.
So skin is their job. But part of my job now is owning my own business, is I do have days where I will do solely skin.
Just skin.
And that wasn't me 5 years ago. And we're going to touch on...
And imagine if you didn't have that now. Where would your business be now without a strong foundation in skin and understanding skin treatments? And I mean, I don't know about you, but I genuinely still just get just as excited about my skin treatment plans, protocols, and results that I'm getting from my clients as what I do for injectables.
Skin is one of those things that you won't see results straight away. So for someone like myself who wants to create a wow factor in the clinic, I do definitely get frustrated, because I'm like, they need to have a treatment plan. And again, we will touch base on this a little bit more closer towards the end of the episode in regards to using skin to your benefit when your books are a little bit quiet.
Yeah.
But
yes, and beautifully said, Jodie, because that's exactly where we need to be heading towards filling our books.
But skin is going to be your saving grace.
Yep. 100%.
Injectables, they come around every 3 months mm-hmm. or every 12 to 16, 18 months.
Yeah.
You're not going to be fully booked with injectable treatments all year round. And that is where having a skin background or some knowledge in skin or training in skin is going to become your saving grace for when you are quiet and you go, okay, well, let's more focus on your skin and your dermis now. Even if you've got a client that you find walks the door every 3 months for injections and every 12 months for helping with fine lines and wrinkles, and you just think and you go, oh, they've probably maybe had a little bit too much now. What else can we do? That is where you introduce your skin. Go, let's work on your skin. Everything else is frozen and everything else is full.
Yep.
So now let's focus on your texture, on your tone. Yep. Let's work on your pores. Let's work on your skin as a whole. And the one thing that I say to a lot of people, you can drink lots and lots of water and you can eat as much fruit and veg as you want, and that is your injectables per se. But if you're not exercising and you're not looking after your body and you're not looking after your skin, what's the point of having injectables? Mm. There is no point eating a healthy diet if you're not going to exercise to back that up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely the icing on the cake, and it's definitely the wow factor. And the important touch point, I guess, with your clients, you know, just to keep, I guess, your finger on the pulse as to their journey, their glow up goals, and where else you might be able to fit something else in to further enhance their results.
Yeah. Yep. And that is another thing, I guess, that we'll touch base on. But it's like, if your books are quiet, use your skin treatments to remind your clients that they are also due in a month's time for their injectables.
Well, let's just dig straight into it. Okay, let's talk about the books being quiet. I think I'm definitely one to speak to this very, very open and honestly, and I have been having these conversations a lot since probably July, I'd say. I had a really busy June and I got to July and I was like, crickets. Calendar looked like crickets. And this is another really big reason why this podcast came to life, because I was trying to lean in on groups that I was in and I was like, I'm having individual chats and everyone's saying they're quiet as well. And, you know, people were getting really stressed, really concerned about what their future in their business was looking like. And yet to the rest of the world or to the rest of the group, I was seeing something very, very different, and it certainly wasn't transparent. And I became increasingly concerned. I was also concerned because I had just had a really busy June. I was like, well, I don't even know where to hustle up more clients, because I felt like I had seen everyone.
You've done everyone.
Which was far from the truth. But, you know, then sat with my CRM, so my client management system, and I would go through them one by one, seeing where these clients were, what my retention was looking like, where clients might have been lost, how I might be able to re-engage them, etc. So,
and I want to touch on that.
Yeah,
this is the importance of having a good software, maintaining your client's data and information in one software.
Yep.
For myself, I use Timely. I know Sarah doesn't use Timely.
I've just switched from Timely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Timely. I'm a huge advocate for Timely. I think it's fantastic. It does what I need to do.
Yeah.
You have to make sure when you are booking your client in that you get all of their information. When I first started, I was admittedly quite lazy, and it was just first name, last name, phone number.
Yeah. Get their birth date.
Get their email.
Get every bit of their data, because it really does come in really handy, especially when you may want to, say, re-engage a client with a special gift voucher or something for their birthday. Like, that's a perfect reason to get in touch with someone. Yes, please. Yep. Thank you, ma'am.
I do hear $25 birthday vouchers that are sent out, I think 48 hours prior to your birthday, and you have got a month to use them.
Yep.
That is done via Timely, via a text message. I also send out emails via marketing as well. So if you haven't received that, that means that was my fault and I haven't put your email in. So if you're wanting that, by all means, let me know. But email marketing is huge, especially via your software. And it also allows for you to see what clients have returned for their follow-ups, what clients haven't, what clients have not booked in for their three monthly.
You just get every bit data. You can only get out
what you put in
into your CRM. So I love that we've both got the two market leaders in CRMs.
So
I've just switched from Timely over to Fresher.
Can I ask you why?
Yeah, of course. So as we touched on before, I am in a number of locations. I have been using Fresher since before it was Fresher. It used to be Schedule. So we're talking six years ago. And I've always used that CRM for my Port Melbourne location. And I've never had an issue with it. I then moved to Brisbane, started the new clinic, and started up with Timely. And because I've been using the two simultaneously, I don't know, Fresher just seemed to overnight just like catapult into the most easy to use, easy to data capture, like the reporting and then looking at the marketing side.
But I was going to say, but also think you're paying two subscriptions there.
No, that's the other thing. Fresher, I'm not paying a subscription. You pay a percentage per treatment, so it can certainly add up, and we'll get to that as well. Yeah, so with Fresher, they also have their own client-facing app. So your clients will have their own profile on there, and they can then look through a marketplace. So there's a listing of all the local services in their area, and they can book straight in off the app. Now, admittedly, if Joe Blow from next door books in to see me at Sage and Stone straight off the Fresher marketplace, Fresher will take 30% off whatever treatment I have provided them. So, yeah, like, whew, that's a
do
hard,
you still
that's hard
get
to swallow.
That full RRP or?
I still get the full RRP, but they will then deduct the 30%. So, but.
Not for me.
No, no. And say, whereas I'm on the other foot, I'm saying, well, I'd rather 70% of it than nothing, because Joe Blogs only found me because they were only looking on Fresher Marketplace.
Yeah.
So I would still rather capture that client, because also I know that I'm very strong in my retail, strong in my retention, strong in my rebooking.
You'll keep them.
I'll take a cut, no worries there, because your marketing will always cost you. Good marketing costs money. So I will take free marketing and give them 30% if it means that I've now got a new client.
Yeah, when you put it like that, I agree with you.
I had a client book in through the Fresher app. She booked in for, no jokes, I think it was literally like a $99 lip flip treatment. And then subsequently in that booking, we did over $1,000 worth of treatment, and then also booked for a thread lift treatment. And you know, like, we're now
you
talking
upskill.
We're now talking a few $1,000s.
Yeah.
So
when you put it like that, it can.
It's, you know, do I think that that's necessarily to the advantage of a newbie? Probably not. It's only because I'm confident in my practice. I'm confident in my client retention and how to, I guess, like, further enhance that appointment.
Mm-hmm.
So I never look at whatever anyone's booked in for, because it doesn't matter. They've booked in for what they think they know, but they're actually coming in for my full nursing assessment as the expert, and then I will make the treatment plan for them. It's then up to them whether they go ahead or not. And I'm not a pressure.
No.
I don't need to be
into pressure. And that is where it is vital to do a full nurse's assessment and do a consultation. Because as Sarah's just said, we had one client come in who was a new client who came in for one specific treatment.
Yep.
She would have done a full assessment on that client and spoken about her concerns and what her goals are, and she's then gotten more out of that appointment.
I think just also highlighting on that is use every minute of that patient's booking time. My clients that I've been seeing for 5+ years, they still get every minute of that 30-minute appointment, even if it is just an anti-wrinkle, spring, a top-up, whatever it may be, they get that full 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Because that is the relationship clincher. That's what keeps people truly...
in your doors.
Yeah, in your door, but that's that loyalty. You know, it's really concrete in that loyalty. And I say that from a place of genuinely
love.
Care. If you don't genuinely care about the conversations you're having with your clients, then sorry, but you've got to think about what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. I don't even write in their notes what's going on, but I remember everything, because when I'm in my treatment room, my client's in front of me, I'm hanging off their every word, and I think you don't miss things when you are genuine in your practice and genuinely care.
100%. And even like, I've got clients again 5-6 years who I've been doing the exact same thing on, and I will still book them in for half an hour, even though I know sometimes that treatment might only take 10 to 15 minutes. But spend that other 15-20 minutes talking to them. How's things? How's life? What's been going on? How's the husband? How the kids? Building your rapport, which is basic nursing skills back in when we were university, is how you bring and keep your clients in the door. No one comes to me now and goes, I'm just going to go and visit Enhance. They go, I'm going to go see Jodie, because they have built that rapport with me, and I can guarantee it'd be the same for Sarah. They visit the nurse because they know that you have that relationship with them. I've got clients who I've had clients for years, and I've been invited to baby showers, weddings, funerals, not because I'm a good injector, it's because we've built that relationship and I can
100%.
Now be called a friend.
Oh, I've even got now clients bringing in their teenage daughters with their problematic skin, and they're like, it's just such a journey. And I mean, obviously we're both mad passionate about it, and that's why ultimately.
It's a rewarding job, and one, I get this question asked so many times, oh, do you miss hospital nursing? And I do, don't get me wrong, I love the physical looking after someone and holding them and making sure the pain's gone away, but this is a whole type of
different
rewarding job.
It's totally
I've seen new life begin. I've seen It's a beautiful, beautiful job.
It's such a long relationship, which we don't get in the clinical sector, is that longevity of seeing all the different phases of life.
And as much in this podcast, we will talk about retaining your clients, keeping them. I would like to say the word upselling. I don't like the word upselling because I don't feel like I'm selling my clients
anything. I hate the word upselling. I won't even allow it. Just going to say edit that. Not edit it out, but edit it out because...
It's not about that.
I really cringe at it. I'll give solutions, but I'll also take it straight off my clients and say, it's here for you next week. If you need it me to post it to you, just say the word. You know, don't feel the pressure. Nothing is going to change imminently. Mm-hmm. You know,
And that's why I left my main job.
That's the relationship building side of things as well.
Correct.
So, I switched from Timely to Fresher across two of my six clinics. And another really big reason was the dashboard I found of Fresher. So easy to use, super, super handy. Everything I can run just off my phone. I can send email, database, SMS and email blasts. I can create beautiful looking emails as well, just in the palm of my hand. And I don't know,
I'm a Timely girl.
I find time. I look at Timely now and I'm like, oh, you're so outdated.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There have been a few conversations that have popped up with other nurses who are in this industry, other people in the beauty industry who have had a few issues with Timely. For me, it works.
Yep.
If you're using it and it's working,
yep.
Don't fix what's not broken.
No.
But for someone like Sarah who is freelancing and who has multiple clinics and who needs multiple locations, I can see as to why it would work for her.
Yeah. It's been a really smooth transition as well. I mean, I have just done all of the import myself. This actually brings me into my task of the, I'd say week, but it's actually been, I feel, the task of the year. So injectors of 4+ years would appreciate how many systems we used to use to keep all of our client entries. So I think I had an app for their photos, an app for their treatment, an app for the scripting. And I think I literally had four apps just to keep one client's information encrypted and safe. Crazy. Whereas now, obviously, with so many of our platforms, be it through Fresh Clinics, Duvet,
Instant Scripts, etc.,
it's all in one.
On Fresh.
Yeah, well, I think definitely at the end of the day, most of our listeners, our podcast is for the nurses, let's face it. You know, we're grassroots nurses. We're here to support the nurses. So we'll definitely get into a little bit of the differences maybe between each of the scripting providers. But I think all of our data now is in that one location. Whoever you're scripting with is pretty much where all of your data management is sitting. All of my data has been across so many different platforms over the last 7 years, and this year I've been collecting all of the data into one humongous spreadsheet and literally tagging which clinic each of these clients have belonged to. Now, why is this important now? Well, because, you know, a couple of months ago when I did go, holy shit, this is what's going on with business, I thought, I haven't marketed. I haven't done anything really to get significant traction in my business. It's just, it's come to me, referrals, the word of mouth, organic growth.
Yeah.
But I really cannot pipe on enough about this that I really think there needs to be a lot more to get your business moving forward. And I think that's even for someone in 10 years, 15 years, if you're not across your marketing, people want everything now. Your clients, they want to hear from you. They want to feel valued, heard, important. They actually don't want to just be left alone for 4 months anymore.
No.
They want to be included and involved.
Life is so busy. And for two people who have got the busiest lives I know of, we forget about things. And I even looked at myself in the mirror and go, oh my God, I am due. How long ago was it? Oh my God, it's 3 months. How come that has slipped my mind? We are not the only people who have that busy lifestyle.
No.
So if your clients are not hearing from you and they're looking at themselves in the mirror going, oh, I haven't heard from the clinic. Do they still want me as client?
No, you've come over to my place for a wine and I say, oh my God, I've got the best injector. You should go, oh, here's a $50 or $100 voucher. To go see her. What's she going to do?
See ya.
Oh, well, my friend loves her. The friend will also get FOMO because they're not seeing the same injector and getting the same experience. So they will walk, even if you think that they're being loyal to you. Even if you've given them the goddamn best results of their life. People are walking now. Yeah. And then,
so if you do not have marketing on board,
mm-hmm.
change it. You need to be marketing. Me and Sarah do marketing a little bit different. I have a marketing, I guess, what would you call it? Like a
marketing manager.
Yeah, a manager. For me, it just makes my life easier. It allows for me to take the reins off a little bit and, I guess, allow someone else to have social media. I love social media, but it's just not my forte.
And I just love it. I love how contrasting we are on this. And this is where you get the best of both worlds. I am so pro learn marketing. As my business coaches drill it into me, that business is 80% marketing.
Yeah.
It's the one thing that I will not let go. It's one thing that I won't let anyone else manage. It is one thing that I want to really learn how to excel at, especially like that's what this year has been for me, really more about learning how to business better and learn a lot more about marketing. So you couldn't see more chalk and cheese. There's not one right way, but you know, if you're busy back to back with clients, you don't have the time to be investing in learning more of your digital marketing and all of those sorts of things.
Yeah,
this is where you'd go.
And that was me. And like Sarah said, there is no right or there is no wrong way.
No.
If you really enjoy getting in the back end of social media and looking at your insights and creating videos, and it's something that you can dedicate a day or two to do, then by all means. Social media and marketing, even in our softwares, it is another job as a whole. And that's why for me,
it's huge.
I gave it to someone else. Still, my business is marketing. It's just not me. My clients know if they call me that they'll get me, but if they're speaking to someone online or if they're posting, they know that I've approved it and they know that it's come from me, but it's not me tagging and uploading and doing things. But on Sarah's behalf, what you see and what you get is what she's done.
Yep. Because no one else has got my tone of voice. I've worked with...
you think?
And I'm really leaning into that these days. Don't you worry if you haven't already said. I'm actually about to do some pretty crazy experiment marketing on my face, Nurse Sarah. Yeah, I'm going a little rogue. I'm gonna go full rogue and just see how this converts, because you've really got to do something different to get seen at the moment across your digital platforms.
I think we should have another episode as marketing as a whole and even try and get
I love
someone.
It. Yeah. It literally gets my heart racing now because because I've learnt so much about it now. And
well, this is a platform where we came to share things.
And it really lends itself to our creative side.
Yeah.
I get so creative and I really miss being able to do before and afters and talk more to camera about results that we've achieved. I struggled. Like I really literally actually went down quite a dark hole because I just really felt like my left side of my... or like half my business brain had been ripped away from me. I really took it so hard with the TGA changes.
And I think you weren't the only one who took it hard.
Not at all. Really hard. No. Like the creative. What do I do? I'm sitting on the couch like...
But for myself, who doesn't... I still have a lot to do with my social media. But when all of this TGA, I was like, oh, well... My marketing manager can deal with it. And thank the Lord that I have a marketing manager that did that, because if I didn't, I think I'd just delete Instagram altogether. Yeah. Because TGA, for those of you who don't know, and we should probably talk a little bit about
Let's not do it today.
No. TGA is a whole... Okay, we're not talking about it. But long story short, social media and advertising. I know because TGA. Anyway, different episode. But long story short, social media and advertising, it became very difficult at the beginning of this year. So for me, I threw the towel in and allowed someone else to do it. For Sarah, she lost her left limb. But this is what I'm going to leave with this. Take it with a grain of salt and make the most of it. Talk about something different. We don't always have to be injectables.
Oh, I've got a million ideas of what you can do.
And make
I've
it
got
fun.
All creative now.
Make
Absolutely.
It fun.
Bring back the fun.
TikToks, fun, skin. That's all I'm going to say on TGA. Yep.
And just one other point to make on paid social media management. You get what you pay for.
Correct.
If you want good social media management that's actually going to traction and do things for your business, you're going to be paying what?
I pay.
Close to about close to about $2,000 a month, let's say.
That's what I pay.
I'm on the money there. Yep. And in all honesty, anything less.
Yeah. Look, don't get me wrong. There might be a few new people who are starting out in that industry who might be at a cheaper rate, but I know that I pay top dollar for my marketing manager, but I know that she has got my stuff scheduled every day, whether it's posts and stories, captions a month in advance, and every month at the end of that month I get a full insight report of what worked, what didn't work, adverts, Facebook marketing. And for me, $2,000, it's a lot of money, don't get me wrong, but for me, it works. I'm not saying that just because you are having someone at the moment and you're not paying that it's not working. It may be working for you, but I needed to invest more money in my marketing because previously I had someone who was being paid but wasn't doing the work, and Sarah had felt the same. Long story there, but you will pay for what you get, and for me, it works out.
Actually, that just leads me into ROI.
Yeah.
Return on investment. Return on investment of time, wherever your finances are going. Return on investment of everything. That's where my mind goes with every decision that I'm faced with in business, my time, my personal life. What is my ROI?
Yeah.
And that sounds so bad. But
it sounds so like sales-based, doesn't
it?
It
does. But like even for me, you know, to go for a coffee or catch up with a friend, the ROI is, oh my God, it's going to fill my cup. I'm so excited. Like, that's still so vitally important to me as a human being,
Correct.
Needing my people, my support, and so forth. But then bringing it back to business, ROI on your time, I'm pretty sure you could piece it all together as far as your social media goes. If you are quiet in clinic, you need to be doing your own marketing. And if you do not know how to do your own marketing, you need to be learning. Yeah. I know I sound real like hard ass about that, but someone needs to say the harsh truth.
If you're quiet in clinic and you're paying someone $2,000 a month for your marketing and you're quiet, it's not working. Cut back, learn, and do something on your own. Again, two different people with two different marketing, I guess, pathways. Sarah does all her own marketing, and everyone's experiencing a little bit of a quiet moment at the moment. However, Sarah's busy normally most of the year because of the things that she does. And
I do think that, I think a really big dip in bookings was because I didn't go quiet on socials, but my education obviously dropped off.
Yeah.
And I really feel like this year we've hurt because of the changes in what we can and can't do on socials.
Yeah.
So, I think a really big take home there is to really stop and consider your return on investment on everything you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to just earmark, maybe for another day as well, but new treatment protocols. I'm seeing so many newer, like under 2 year out sort of nursing or cosmetic nurses jumping on the next trend, jumping on, I want to get this, I want to do this, I want to bring in a laser, which this, which that. And I'm just sitting there going, unless you've got big bank, save it and work on your skin. Get a good, get, you know, go hell for leather on your skin needling, but also pay for the education for the skin needling to really understand and know what you are doing with that needling pen.
Yeah.
Don't just go in, like, don't, for the love of skin gods, do not just go in, buy the device, take all of the information off the off the device salesperson and run with it. Like, that's not ethical for your clients.
It will come round and bite you later on.
Well, you're not going to understand how to get results. If you're not getting results, you're not going to have a client that's returning.
And you'll have a client who has spent a couple of $1,000s and gone, well, I've done X amount of skin healing, I've done X amount of this, why is my skin just as bad as from the moment I walked in? If you are not educated and you do not know what's going down in the layers of the dermis because you, again, have just jumped on trend because everyone else is doing it, you're not going to get the results that you want, and it, in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to be beneficial at all.
And I think, you know, we cover that with the skin needling, but I mean, I'm talking all of the injectables. You know, we're now seeing an influx of the Rejuran hitting the market. And hey, if these thing, if these treatments work, believe me, I am the first to jump on them. People that know me know that I can be quite slow to jump or to launch.
I'm exactly the same.
I sit back for about 12 months. I watch and wait to see what the industry's remarks and comments have been about the treatments. Unless my clients are kicking up a, you know, that they desperately want it, they don't want it, they don't need it, and they don't care what else they're seeing on socials, because they'll ask me for my opinion and I'll say, look, come back to me in 12 months when I've got a formed opinion.
There's a lot of things out there at the market and on the market at the moment that is this new thing. I saw this online, I saw this, and they've got this in America. And again, different countries, so it's different treatments as a whole altogether, but if it was that good, everyone would be doing it. And this is my thing, is like, yes, we see something online and it looks fantastic, but in the grand scheme of things, how many people do you know that have had that treatment done and it's fantastic? I know there's one thing going around at the moment and it sounds like the bee's knees, but I'm just waiting for it to slowly come to terms. Yeah, that and Hypo.
Oh, don't get me started on heat devices.
Are you like, are you yes or no?
Oh my God, no. Do not come near me with your heat devices. This is why I'm going out. Like, RF in the wrong hands, hypo in the, I go, oh my God.
Yeah. Hypo is something that I get asked for in the clinic all the time. And everyone's like, oh, but I've seen this person do it.
I'm not saying it's bad.
No.
But in the wrong hands.
In the wrong hands. And the,
I cry.
But touching on that, not only in the wrong hands as the person doing the treatment, but it has to be client-specific.
So client-specific. Like, I feel like it's even more client-specific than any injectable.
Correct.
Like, the damage that can be done to your underlying structures, when your fat pads.
When it is done correctly, and it is done correctly by the right person on the right client, I am sure things like this, and this covers all areas of injectables, skin, and devices, right person to be doing it and the right client, it will probably work in your favor. But again, that goes back to education. If you are not educated on what criteria needs to be done with what device, then why bring it in?
Yep. I actually feel I've got so much more to say on this, but I'm also aware that I don't know how long we've been going for. If this has been of any kind of value to you, do you want to hear more about our thoughts on this subject? Do you want to dig a little bit deeper on the ROI? Do you want to dig deeper on what's been working for us in our individual clinics? We'd love to know. But I think right now, so on that note, I think we should wrap it up for today.
Yeah.
But before we go, we can't leave without our ins and outs for the week. Jodi, tell me what's been your in for this week.
My in, touching base on this episode, which I guess was a huge part as why we spoke about it, is getting my clients' information. It may not at the moment seem relevant, but when I'm having a quiet moment, at least I have my client's information. So if I need to send them an email or send them a reminder text message, it is there. So for me this week, it is in getting my client details, and out, oh gosh, I wouldn't even know. Out is not getting my client's details.
Being left solo to man the fort on your first week of launching a podcast.
Pretty much. And Sarah, you're in and out of the week. What are you coming in with?
Look, I've got... In is always disconnecting, going on a holiday, and living your best life. You don't do all of this hard work not to go and enjoy
a holiday every now and again.
Like, you do this so that you can reap those rewards, you know. So I think it's just always a really timely reminder. As far as an actual business win, can I have two wins?
Sure.
So my win has definitely been working tirelessly on this spreadsheet of mine and sending out a few SMSs to some targeted groups of clients of mine, and now seeing some bookings rolling in from that. I'll take that as a strong win. Outs for the week. I don't even have one.
It's like, hard.
It's so, life is so good. Brisbane's turning it on for us.
Okay, so out. Stressing about a quiet book.
Absolutely. Yeah, Jodie asked me earlier if I was stressed, and I said, no, it's just a different landscape of business now to what I have ever known. So yeah. I know in my heart of hearts that if I'm feeling this way, sure as shit, everyone else is too.
And
it's a new landscape to learn.
Yeah. And make the most of it. You will be very annoyed at yourself that you didn't spend some of your quiet days being down. We are a couple months out from Christmas, which for us nurses is the busiest time of the year. So make the most of this quiet moment.
Yeah.
Go on holiday. Take the kids away for the weekend.
Yeah. Reset, recharge,
recalibrate. Stop stressing about it.
Because... you got some work to do when you get back from your dirty little weekend away, though, and we'll be here to fill you in on exactly how to do that. For now, though, over and out.
Over and out. See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.